as we take a trip to the Orthopedic Clinic phone line, where we welcome on Lindsey Crosby of Braves Today and Auburn Daily, taking some time out of the busy schedule to join us on this Wednesday. Lindsey, we certainly appreciate the time. How are things in your world?
Things are going great. It's been a good day of baseball today. What was able to get played and looking like a good season so far.
So, Lindsey, we'll start with some Braves, as, of course, it was rain/snowed out of Chicago today, a 3-2 start for the Braves, but very importantly, starting with that series win in Philadelphia. Does it kind of feel in the early moments of the season that this truly is starting out as an extension of last year's team?
The Blazers have talked about they feel very similar to how well the offense played last year. And there was a lot of words said, a lot of ink spilled about that gap between the regular season and the postseason and how they didn't perform because of that time off. It doesn't really look like the winter off did that much for Atlanta. We haven't seen as much of the power as we expected as last year's team had. You know, it tied the all-time single-season home run record with 307, but some of that can be attributed to the cold weather. They have scored plenty of runs, and right now are the only team in the National League East with a positive run differential. They're up 21 runs on the season. Everybody else in the division is negative.
And Lindsey, I know that the Braves had some interesting rotation decisions to make this offseason. Of course, Chris Sale, bringing him in, a lot of people fascinated by that move. What did you see out of him in his first start?
So the big thing for Chris Sale, I think, is a lot of the actual pitches themselves were better than last year. Like, Sale had on paper a decent year last year from a strikeout rate perspective. ERA was fine, but the actual stuff, the velocity was down a bit. The pitches didn't move as much. The slider had lost about 3 inches of horizontal movement. And when you see him in his first start that he made against Philly, a lot of the numbers match up with what his pitches did from a pitch movement standpoint prior to a lot of these injuries. Right, the arsenal's not the exact same. He's not throwing the sinker nearly as much as 2017, 2018. But the actual pitches and the movements are back to what vintage Chris Sale had. And so the thought for Atlanta is he's obviously healthy. He said he's healthy for the first time in a long time. So the thought process is manage his workload, get him to October. He should be able to perform. Maybe not like early career Cy Young runner-up Chris Sale, but possibly like 2018 playoff performer, get you a World Series Chris Sale.
I'm always interested, Lindsey, in how the transition between being a reliever and then a starter, or then a starter to a reliever goes. And for the Braves, we're seeing that right now with Ronaldo Lopez. He was a guy that started his career as a starter, went to a reliever, now back as a starter. He obviously pitched well enough to win yesterday against Chicago. Just what are proper expectations for guys that are kind of hopping around between either being a reliever and a reliever and a starter?
The two big things to kind of watch when you see a transition like that, and Ronaldo Lopez has had some of these questions already, is how much do you have to take off of your pitches to be able to throw 100 in a game versus throwing 20? And then what type of innings workload can you reasonably take on after a couple years of relief? When Lopez was a starter, he was throwing 180 innings. The last couple of years, he hasn't been much more than 60, 65. So still an open question about what he can do from a workload perspective throughout the season. But he is able to throw harder. His stuff is better now than when he was a starter earlier in his career. And he's talked about some of that's just being a better pitcher, knowing more about his body, better preparation, knowing more about how to pitch effectively in the major leagues. And so the question's going to be, how long do you keep him in the rotation before you try to manage his innings by moving him to the bullpen, with the thought process of you go from 60 this year, maybe 110 or 120 innings, and then after that, then it's looking at what's a full rotation year look like of 180 or so. So the stuff's good. It's just how much can he do in a game? How much can he do in a season?
And then looking at Jared Kelnick, the addition from the Mariners, and how he's kind of, his swing looks, I mean, different and improved just in the few outings that he's had. Talk about how his impact is going to help with that left field position that the Braves seem to just have had so much trouble filling that void in recent seasons.
Yeah, he absolutely is going to give you a higher floor on defense. Eddie Rosario, not counting what he's doing in Washington right now, has historically been a corner outfielder and one that was average to above average defensively. Kelnick's a guy that can play center field. He did it in the spring. They're comfortable with him, and you saw some defensive plays from him. But then you touched on the swing changes, and the two big things that we've seen differently from Jared Kelnick, and it's the Kevin Seitzer special, the hitting coach for the Braves. He's lowered Jared Kelnick's hands so that his hands aren't up by his face. They're closer to his neck and chest, and he can get the ball into the zone quicker. And then he's kind of calmed down some of the lower body, the big leg kick and things like that Kelnick had. And we've seen he's already, like, just that first series, didn't strike out at all. Five hits, had a double, walked a couple times, couple RBIs. It looks like he's a lot closer to realizing the potential he had as a top prospect and a guy that could play, could handle himself both offensively and defensively at an above average level for Atlanta.
Just about the only disappointing thing from the first couple games in Philly was the Sean Murphy injury. What can you tell us about that injury for Sean, and what kind of if this could be a long-term absence?
Yeah, so the MRIs came back, and it was a grade one oblique strain, so something where there's not any sort of major tearing. The thought process is they don't know exactly how long he'll be out. They're thinking it's going to be more than the 10-day IL, but it's not something that should require a 60-day stint and be out for multiple months. The good news is they're confident that Travis d'Arnaud can handle the load for a good portion of the schedule. It's not going to be like when d'Arnaud was out last year and Murphy played almost every single day. They've already been using Chadwick Tromp, mixing in every third game or so for Travis d'Arnaud. But the thought process is you're not going to lose half a season of Sean Murphy, but he's probably going to be out a month, possibly a little bit more. And we did see the organization go sign 35-year-old veteran Sandy Leone and stick him in AAA just in case you have another injury. They wanted some more organizational depth.
I know it's early, obviously. We're just a week into the season, but you look around the NL East, obviously the Phillies, it's just 5 games, 2-3 is going to happen. But you look at the bottom and you see the 0-4 Mets and the 0-7 Marlins. I know you talk a little bit about the Marlins too, Lindsay. Just, I know it's so early out of 162, but how concerning is that for the Mets and Marlins to be winless so far this year?
I'm more worried about the Marlins than the Mets. And I think for the Mets, it's a little bit of expectations, right? They've admitted the 2025 is their contention window. And they did play, some decent teams in that, the first couple series there. Whereas you look at the Marlins and facing the Angels, facing the Pirates, both two teams we don't expect to be good this year. And the weaknesses the Marlins had coming into the year, they dramatically outperformed expectations in one-run games, in extra inning games last year. They were already below average in home run production. They lost Jorge Soler, and they didn't really do anything to replace the lost production. It was a team that already had to count on amazing performances from the rotation to carry them, and then now they have a ton of injuries. Edward Cabrera, Braxton Garrett, Yuri Perez, all working their way back, but still different levels of time being up until they're back in the rotation. I struggle to see a path to even a 500 record for the Marlins, simply because they can't score very well, and they can't, as we've seen, they can't keep opposing offenses off the board, and they're supplementing their lack of rotation depth right now with two relievers, which has put everybody else in the bullpen into a different and harder role that they're just not prepared for. So it might be a long season in Miami, and I actually have them probably finishing last in the division with Washington ahead of them, simply because things don't look great for the Marlins.
You mentioned the Marlins. You also mentioned the Mets, which the Braves have a home series with the Mets coming up starting next Monday. But before that, the Braves are going to open up the home season Friday against the Diamondbacks. We know what the Diamondbacks did last year. Is this going to be a three-game series that could give the Braves problems opening up their homestand for 2024?
I think this series is going to work out for Atlanta for a couple different reasons. The first one is you're avoiding some of the best pitchers for the Diamondbacks, right? Zach Gallen pitched last night. Merrill Kelly pitched today. Eduardo Rodriguez is not going to be ready with that injury that he has. You're going to avoid some of their best pitchers. And then Corbin Carroll is an amazingly talented pitcher, outfielder, don't get me wrong, but Corbin Carroll also hasn't quite looked the same this season, and ever since he had that that recurrence of the shoulder issue late last year, I think he's 3-for-20 right now. Doesn't have an extra base hit on the season. I think that they're going to be pesky, right? They might take one of the three, which is kind of expected. But I don't think this is the same Diamondbacks team that made a World Series run last year, simply because they're going to avoid those big stars. And Corbin Carroll's not playing like Corbin Carroll right now while he still works out that shoulder issue.
Talking to Lindsey Crosby of Braves Today and Auburn Daily today on Sports Call. So, Lindsey, let's get a couple quick ones in on Auburn baseball. Obviously, a rough start record-wise to conference play at just 1-8. And we've kind of been talking a lot about the pitching woes for the Tigers. We've seen Joseph Gonzalez and Chase Alsup with ERAs in the sevens. We get that college baseball is higher scoring, but sevens is still incredibly high for two guys that Auburn was going to lean on. Just what's gone wrong with those guys and just with the pitching staff in general?
So for it's a bigger issue for Gonzalez, I think, than what you're looking at for Alsup. Alsup, and it's kind of anecdotal, but Alsup feels like the struggles are individual mistake pitches. He takes a little while in the first inning to get settled in. We've seen a lot of opponents put up a couple runs in the first inning. Auburn gets into a hole immediately. And then we'll see as he gets later in the outing, the mistakes will start to crop up more. When he misses with the fastball, he'll miss middle versus missing on the edge, and it gets rocked. Joseph Gonzalez has been a bigger mystery, I think, to the fans, obviously, but the coaching staff as well. There was some talk before the season about how he was the healthiest he'd ever been, and he was throwing harder than ever before. And so because of that, he didn't have the same movement on his pitches that he's historically had. And a sinker slider guy, obviously you want those balls to stay down to induce ground balls. He's tried to adjust how he's throwing as far as taking a little off the ball to get the movement back. He hasn't quite looked like the same Joseph Gonzalez. And I don't know exactly what the fix is. I think that's the biggest concern for Auburn, is you don't know how to fix Joseph Gonzalez. If they knew, they would have done it already. And so your offense has to keep teams or keep Auburn into games until you can get the pitching figured out. Every year, this Auburn baseball team makes a run in the back half of the schedule, and they've had a brutal first half of the conference schedule. But it's all going to come down to, can you fix Joseph Gonzalez? Can Chase also fix some of these issues? And can you find the right relievers in the right positions in the right roles to make a run? They're going to do it. They do it every year. Everybody I've talked to in the college baseball world is convinced they have a run. The question is, how deep will the hole be when that run starts? Will it be enough to get them into the field of 64?
And as you mentioned, Lindsey, again, this team has had some beautiful second halves to SEC plays, and for no other reason this year, they're going to have their fourth top 10 opponent in league play to start out with, and you're going to run out of top 10 teams at some point. And so they'll have some weaker, and again, theoretically weaker series coming up. But what is the target win-loss number in SEC play? I know we're 1-8 so far, so what number does Auburn need to get to feel comfortable that they will end up being an NCAA tournament team?
So I think a good parallel here is 2019, right? Because 2019 started off kind of similar. You ended up 14-16 in conference play, and you went all the way to Omaha. It feels like you have to be somewhere close to 500 in conference play. You don't have to actually be 500. I don't necessarily know if that's in the cards, but you need to be closer to 500. And so you're probably a week away from the point of you really can't lose any more series in conference play. You have Tennessee, like you said, top four Tennessee this weekend. After that, you host Kentucky. Unfortunately, this has been a very home dominant conference in the SEC this year. Home teams are winning a ton. One of the only exceptions to that is Kentucky. They've been pretty good on the road, so you've got to deal with that. Then you go to State, to LSU, home for Ole Miss, at Missouri, home for Alabama. You need to win five of those six series and get 13, 14 conference wins if you want a legitimate shot at getting into the postseason and being able to make a run.
He's Lindsey Crosby of Braves Today and Auburn Daily joining us today on Sports Call. Lindsey, how can our listeners follow and support your work?
My writing is on both of those sites, BravesToday.com and AuburnDaily.com. And if you want to follow me, I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. A lot of those tweets there are obviously baseball-themed. A lot of Braves, a little bit of MLB. Rest of that's college baseball.
Again, he's Lindsey Crosby, Braves Today, Auburn Daily, joining us today on Sports Call. We certainly appreciate the time with you today, Lindsey, and we look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thanks for having me.
That is Lindsey Crosby joining us today on Sports Call.